Scott Ludlam, if we could start with farm finance packages, are you satisfied with the way that the West Australian state and federal governments are working on this and the results so far for West Australian farmers?
Look, it's probably too early to call for the results. This is obviously something that's very long term. We certainly support the urgent financial support that's being provided, and it looked for a while as though WA was going to miss out completely. And I'd particularly commend the additional mental health support, because that's what people are obviously calling out for as well. The biggest problem I've got, I think, is that if we misdiagnose the cause of these droughts, then we're going to keep putting Band-Aids on, and that will ultimately let farmers down. It's very, very worrying to see the Prime Minister continuing to deny the link between climate change and drought.
So you believe that the farm finance packages, whilst necessary, could actually be sort of misplaced policy?
Well, I think in the short term, there's no question that it's required. But in the medium term, what do we need to do to ensure that farmers can stay on their land? And the first thing we've got to do is stop pretending that these weather conditions are just an aberration from normal. Climate change is real. And in fact, the farming community were among the first to tell us, and the Southwest has been very hard hit. I don't think it helps anybody for, you know, Tony Abbott, who operates a very, very long way from the Midwest to WA, to be marching around the place denying the link between global warming and drought. The link has been clear for years. But if you continue to deny it, then I think you'll continue to apply the wrong prescription. We need to get used to this as though maybe the climate's not going back to how it was. And then support farmers in changing farm practices. And that can include stuff all the way through the supply chain so that people can stay on the land.
Scott Ludlam, what's your position on industrial relations reforms? Issues like the penalty rates that have been brought up for debate by the federal coalition. Do we need to change the way we pay our workers?
Look, I think what we're seeing is another instance of the Liberal Nationals in power going after some of the most vulnerable, low-paid workers in the country. And we've got people earning hundreds of thousands of dollars a year urging changes to penalty rates. The reason that penalty rates are higher for people working on weekends and late at night is that they're pretty antisocial working hours, and particularly for students, for whom the government, successive governments, have removed support for people who are studying, means you've got no other option. If you don't get those penalty rates, you can't actually survive. So I think what we're seeing effectively is the creeping return of work choices, and they're at it again today, where workers who are most disadvantaged and most low paid are put in a position where they can be exploited again.
What's your position on unconventional gas and its potential development across the Midwest and also the Kimberley of Western Australia?
Well, I think we need to learn from places where it happened earlier, principally the United States and the east coast of Australia, where farmers have banded together, as they're now doing across the Midwest and the Kimberley, to lock the gate and lock the industry out. Effectively, what we've got is the law of the land says that the gas industry's rights trump the rights of farmers, Aboriginal people, pastoralists and other landholders. And every time the Greens have tried to move on that and redress that balance to give landholders genuine rights over their land when the gas industry comes knocking, it's the Nationals who are at the front of the queue knocking us back. So I've got real concerns. I think the potential for renewable energy in an area like the Midwest is of vastly greater potential, in potential in terms of jobs and in terms of longevity, and even in terms of community support, and seeing the way that the council has led the way on planning for 100% renewable energy in the Midwest. That, I think, is where the real excitement is, not wrenching the last fossil fuel resources out of the ground.
Roads, rail and port infrastructure. How can the state and federal governments work better together to improve regional infrastructure and help to develop regional economies?
I'd add one to your list, if I may, which is telecommunications. Mm-hmm. And I was in Geraldton last year when we switched on the NBN, and I've shared the despair and the disappointment at the fact that that project is now being smashed up and wound back. On the broader infrastructure question, I think we were starting to get there, and we're now seeing this government take us backwards with removing the independence of Infrastructure Australia, which allows ministers to pick pet projects or even block certain categories of infrastructure altogether from being considered. I think we need more independent assessment of what infrastructure is necessary, which allows you to consult and hear from communities directly, rather than politicians on the other side of the country picking winners and picking pet projects. So I'm actually very concerned that we're getting it wrong and that we're about to be going backwards.